All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, we you know, we're talking about before we went to break. You know, the one thing Tom from L.A. always talks about is getting the money out of politics.
Yeah, and you know,
that's easier said than done, right?
Well, it's hard to do, but I have to say that over the years, my eyes have been opened as I've watched the way our policy seems to be made, which is indecipherable to the normal citizen.
Right.
We can't figure out why we have the foreign policy we have. We can't figure out why we spend $785 billion, why that's the number we need to spend on our military budget. We can't figure out how things are prioritized. We don't know what's in the tax code and why. And, you know, the answer to that is it's all there because of private interests. And private interests have been driving our government with more and more control ever since money has become the fundamental currency of politics instead of the public interest. And we need to get money out of politics, and we need to get sunshine shining in. And, you know, in the 70s, there were laws that restricted corporate giving to politics, and we had a very professional media. We had a very active newspaper media. We had, the Woodward and Bernstein uncovering the whole Watergate problem. Would Watergate get uncovered today? I doubt it, because no one would be willing to invest the year and a half of high-income reporter income that was used to uncover all of that. So, you know, we need to move in that direction. And while I don't agree with everything progressives want to do, I certainly have come to agree that money out of politics is a fundamentally important step that we have to take.
You know, you just see it nonstop. I mean, nonstop on my phone, on my email. We've got to do it now in order to defeat the Republicans. The Republicans have to be defeated. And you, Earl, can help us do that if you'll just give us $15 today. Well, who am I giving it to?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, well, this comes from the National Democratic Party, from the state Democratic
Party. Or MoveOn.org.
Or MoveOn.org.
And I keep getting emails telling me there's a deadline. The end of this month is a deadline. We need money because we have to get to a certain dollar amount by the end of the month. For what? You know, I haven't yet figured out what that monthly deadline involves exactly. But that kind of money at least is coming from me.
Right.
I'm worried more about the money that's coming from special interests who are going to show up and darken the doorway of each of our representatives and Congress and the Senate and help them understand what it is they need to vote for. It's the kind of thing that's the way I keep coming back to that example of that Obamacare amendment that took one little piece of Obamacare, which represented the private interest of the medical equipment manufacturers, and that was the only bipartisan act that could be taken to deal with Obamacare.
So that's the part of all of this, Sandy, with the lobbyists, that, you know, I think, my opinion, damaged democracy. When you have people who can come in and sit down one-on-one with the elected official, and even though the lobbyists aren't the people who elect the elected official, this is citizenry.
Well, you have to understand, lobbying has become a very professional and complicated activity, because lobbyists don't just show up and talk one-on-one. Lobbyists organize trade associations. Lobbyists organize manufacturer groups. Lobbyists manufacture an interest group that represents a body of people that they can then represent to go in and talk to a congressman
on
or a senator.
Behalf.
And those groups give substantial amounts of money. And so it isn't just one-on-one, let me tell you why you need to vote this way. No, it's got the shadow of money behind it that relates to these trade associations, which have been primarily organized by lobbyists and modeled after the NRA and some of these very effective lobbying organizations. So everyone now understands how the game is played. And there are PACs, political action committees. There are all kinds of things that the lobbying community plays the active role in actually managing the processes of. They are the professionals who people who want to affect public policy go to organize a process which can essentially override and be at least as important, but probably more important than the public
interest. So then what they do is those interests then reach out to the voters and convince the voters who to vote for? Because those firms can individually vote.
No. They provide the money for campaigns. You know, there's not in Washington, I don't know how all of our legislators manage to get rich, but it isn't by either extortion or money being handed to them directly. It probably relates much more to indirect kind of favors that are done on their behalf. But it's not corruption as we would normally think about it. It's the ability to raise money so that people can get reelected. And that's the fundamental thing that's important to every elected official, apparently, is getting reelected again and again and again. And that takes money, and the money is used to persuade voters.
So, again, if the fact that the majority of us aren't educated to that process, I think if the majority of the voters were educated to that process wouldn't be able to be so effective.
Well, if the light shined brightly on it,
right.
If everyone knew how much money, and you know, in campaigns, people try to focus and direct attention on it, but the problem is the money's going to both sides. So both Democrats and Republicans receive this money, and they receive it in the same, you know, maybe from different interest groups, but it's the same sort of organized fundraising that's going on, bundling and all this stuff that we know the lingo of. So it's pretty hard to attack your opposition when you're participating in the same game.
You know, Sandy, there have always been lobbyists for the most part. They maybe didn't have the kind of control and power that they have now. I know a couple lobbyists, and that's why when people leave Congress, that's what they want to become, because there's gold in them thar hills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
well, you know, and it's the work they do is challenging. It's intellectually challenging. It requires a great deal of ingenuity, requires charisma. It takes a whole bunch of characteristics, and good lobbyists are talented people. But it's been developed to an art, and this art involves creating a driving influence, an influence that can drive through Congress bills that would not probably withstand public scrutiny and rather are handled as, you know, the kind of things that get tucked into bills. That became the art of lobbying, which is tucking matters into bills that have fundamental importance and really don't like the light of day, but you just tuck them in to something complicated and it gets passed.
You know, Sandy, I don't know if this is being taught in the schools. I doubt it, you know, whether or not it's being taught. So the American people, there's nowhere they pick that up. You know,
I think they got the scent of it. You know, the people who are upset with the progressives, people who are angry with the way things are going and blame them and want to talk about the people running this country without knowing who they are, but knowing that they're there.
Right.
And they're right. There are people running this country. Those people don't even know they're running the country because they're only representing their little group, the little gun manufacturers, the people who make a certain chemical, the people who make pesticides, the people who make herbicides.
Right, right.
All these people just have their own little interests that they're managing, and they're getting things accomplished in Congress. And together, those people are running the country, but they don't think that. They just think that they're managing the interest of the pesticide manufacturers.
Well, and again, at the expense of the average citizen.
Sure. I mean, they're taking the attention of the Congress, and they're also dictating to Congress kind of the things they do in exchange for which they get money to get elected.
So for instance, I was reading something the other day about the fact that people who have been getting the financial support to continue with the Affordable Care Act, 18 million people who the only way they could afford to have that insurance was through, government's help. Well, now they're taking that away at a time when people needed it the most. But there are not a whole lot of people lining up as lobbyists to fight for those people who are going to be losing their health insurance.
Well, you take the Affordable Care Act as an example of what happens with lobbying in Washington, what happens in the sausage-making process of legislation. Ultimately, the Affordable Care Act established the precedent that people with existing conditions should be entitled to get health care and insurance, and that everyone should have access to insurance. Those two principles were adopted. But the mechanisms for making it affordable and the mechanisms for making it easy were not.
Right.
And they all got compromised away in the process of doing all the things necessary to get the act passed.
So it never realized the fullest potential that it really could.
And the one piece of potential that it did get passed, the ultimatum that everyone get insurance, was written off by the courts. And so the one part of it that was fundamental to it actually working was eliminated. And it's henceforth, the insurance that is available under the Affordable Care Act is not very affordable.
All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.